people, it's Today FM's Claire Beck here. Before you start your podcast, let me ask you this. Are you wearing your SPF today? I know, Irish weather can be a bit all over the place, but it really doesn't mean you should skip it. Simple's new SPF 50 UV fluid has your back, whether it's sunny, cloudy, or raining cats and dogs. This isn't just any SPF, it's skincare that works double duty. Not only does it protect your skin from UV damage, but it also helps reverse visible signs of sun damage and aging. Think brighter skin, fewer dark spots, and that stunning glowy look we're all after. And the best part? It's super lightweight, so no greasy feeling, no heavy residue, and it even has an invisible finish. So, whether you're out in the sun or dancing in the rain at your favourite festival, Simple SPF 50 UV fluid protects that summer feeling, whatever the weather. And it's available nationwide. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The Last Word on Today FM.
I bet you know the expression stirring up a hornet's nest. But John Gibbons, our environment correspondent, is going to explain to us what a hornet's nest really is and why it's actually dangerous. Because there's one down in Cork on the south side of the city, apparently.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. Yeah, this is really the first reported finding of a full hornet's nest in Ireland. These are Asian hornets.
And what are the hornets and what's the nest?
Well, okay, first of all, what are hornets? They're sort of like very, very large wasps. If you encountered one, you probably would remember it. The main thing to do with hornets is to keep away from them. If you see one of them, report it to the National Parks and Wildlife Service or the Biodiversity Data Centre. They're dangerous, right? Now,
do they sting you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, the same as a bee. Bees are not aggressive, for example. Wasps are kind of aggressive, as we know. Bees are not aggressive. We're fortunate, Matt, that the Asian hornet isn't especially aggressive. However, if you corner it or if you bother it or frighten it, it will sting you. And they deliver a heavy payload because of their size. There are other species of hornets that are actually deadly and will kill people. So,
but you don't get those in Ireland,
no,
do you?
No, thankfully we don't. So the issue really with the Asian hornet, of course, this is an invasive species.
Yeah, where does it come from? How come it's in Cork?
Well, exactly. Sure. Why wouldn't you be in Cork? But okay, careful, seriously, they reckon that this hornet or one or more hornets have come in through cargo ships or even possibly through car ferries, but more likely through cargo ships. So that means that a hornet would have secreted itself or a couple of hornets would have secreted themselves in cargo, survived the passage, and then found, particularly this summer in Ireland, probably found it very pleasant. You notice it's been an extremely warm summer, many, many days over 20 degrees. So they're probably normally...
They'd survive in that climate.
Come to Ireland and basically they generally don't thrive. They will do badly, often die because of the rain and so on. So this summer, these hornets seem to have found the conditions here more to their liking. They survived long enough to establish a nest. Now, thankfully, the Parks and Wildlife Rangers quickly identified the nest. And they're in the process, if they haven't already done so, of destroying the nest. They will also take DNA samples from the hornets to try to figure out exactly where in East Asia these originated from.
Yeah, but yeah, I can imagine, all right, one or two of these things might get in via cargo, you suggest, but then how is it they actually manage? There must have been enough of them to form the nest.
Yeah, exactly. A small clump or cluster of them must have got through enough to form a nest. Now, they reform nests, I think, in the autumn, so the issue, we hope, is that they will not be able to overwinter in Ireland. And again, another thing to do with our climate is that many of these invaders won't survive an Irish winter. But of course, part of the issue here again is frost, for example, is typically the enemy of a lot of invasive species from warmer climes. But of course, our frost days are declining sharply in the winter. So we're likely to see more invaders like the hornets arriving here by one means or another and getting a foothold. We're starting to see, for example, the Asian hornet is now well established across Europe, Matt. Continental Europe, of course, is much hotter than it used to be, and therefore many of the Asian species that would are better adapted to higher temperatures are finding Europe much more to their liking than they used to. So you'll always get a spillover of species because humans are constantly travelling, and because we travel, we bring other species in our wake, either in our shipping or in our aircraft or in our luggage. That's always been the case. But what we're seeing now with shifting climate patterns, some of these invaders are able to get a foothold.
Okay, let's move on to something else. This report that global warming could be making Europe less windy, which raises an interesting question. How then are all the wind turbines going to spin to give us the wind energy as a replacement for oil?
Yeah, it's one of those awful paradoxes. This particular study established that over the course of the 21st century, we're likely to see what they call wind droughts becoming up to between 5 and 15% longer in duration in the Northern Hemisphere. So the Northern Hemisphere, we're talking the US, Europe, Asia, through China. So these are major, major wind producing belts. And I suppose the first thing to say is kind of how is wind produced? And of course, the wind is a factor of the movement of air from areas of high pressure to areas of low pressure. And as temperatures warm up, we're getting shifts in the distribution of high and low pressure. And this is disrupting our air patterns and our wind patterns. And one of the consequences of this, as this study establishes, is that we're going to have these pockets of wind drought, where the wind drops severely. Now, the Germans, they always have a phrase for it. They have a wonderful phrase for it, Matt, called Dunkelflaute. And what that means is they call it the dark doldrums. So that's typically a period in winter when you have an anticyclonic conditions, so it's quite dark and the wind suddenly drops and it stays dropped. And you'll have noticed, I'm sure your listeners will have spotted this, we're getting what they call sticking patterns of weather generally. We're getting, for example, longer heat waves. We're getting longer periods, for example, of downpours and inundations. So when we tend to find now that our weather patterns are sticking. So one of the patterns that are also sticking is what they call wind droughts. Now, is this the end of wind energy? Thankfully, No, it isn't. But the planners...
Well, why isn't it? Because I can imagine that those who are against the idea of wind energy, and there's an increased number of adherents to that position because of all the stuff that Donald Trump has been saying about windmills, and that they're useless and that they cause damage and for dolphins and whales and all the rest of it. If more and more people start believing that, and there's more emphasis again on drill, baby, drill for oil and gas and all the rest of it and stuff, that... You use this information to say, well, if there's going to be large times when the turbines are useless, there's no point in making the investment in wind energy.
Yeah, of course, that is the counterfactual to it. Now, in reality, we're talking about small, modest reductions, as I said, in the range of 5 to 15%. And the planning, the purpose of this type of information isn't to throw in the towel on wind energy. Absolutely not. Rather, instead, you have to develop complementary technologies. So, for example, you've got to up your game on battery storage. You've got to look at, for example, wind-produced clean green hydrogen to support and back up systems like this. And this is important for Ireland, of course, because as we move from our onshore wind energy into the offshore phase, which should be coming on stream over the next 5 to 10 years, like in a really large way, it's important that the people planning for this are aware of the fact that we're likely to have these anticyclonic conditions hitting us harder and more regularly. So it's about planning for the Matt. But let's be clear about one thing. There is no going back. We cannot continue burning coal, oil, gas or peat. All of these are recipes for disaster. We have to work with renewable technologies, the best that we have. We've got to get them deployed to scale. We got to do it quickly. So there's nothing in this report to me that says anything about
really,
backsliding.
Because aren't there more and more social media posts and websites which are publishing climate science denial?
That's right. This is the so-called slop. I know you and I have talked about the benefits, dubious, I would argue, of AI and how it's going to solve climate change for us. But on a more realistic note, what we're seeing is the purveyors of climate misinformation are finding AI absolutely fantastic. Because I'll give you an example. There's an organization. It's called a climate-focused publication known as Climate Cosmos. It popped out earlier this year. And one of their articles, for example, was titled, Why Top Experts Are Rethinking Climate Alarmism. Now, that sounds very sensible, Matt. And it's written by Kathleen Westbrook, MSc in Climate Science, which sounds very reasonable. And she cites the Global Climate Research Institute. There's a problem. There is no Global Climate Research Institute. There is no Kathleen Westbrook, MSc in Climate Science. The whole thing is AI hooey. Literally, this is gobbledygook coming out of AI. And when the company involved were challenged, they went...
But somebody has to sort of prompt it, yes, in the first place, though, don't they?
Absolutely. In fact, this thing is so hacked together that the researchers at DSMOG, who actually investigated and turned this up, they found actual AI prompt lines, such as how to feed in an instruction to an AI platform, and they pump in loaded questions into the platform, and then AI spews out what it thinks you want to hear. So if you load into AI, oh, climate change is a load of rubbish, AI, wanting to please you, will agree with you. Now, I tested that thesis, Matt, this afternoon, my copy of MS Word, for reasons that only Microsoft know, now includes these embedded AI prompts. Would you like to write an article about this? I didn't ask for them. I don't even know how to turn them off. Anyway, so I put in just to test it out, I said, write me an article that shows that climate change is a hoax. Just to see how Microsoft are doing on this. Because, by the way, that previous article that I mentioned, that was promulgated, I should say, across MSN, which is a Microsoft-controlled information network that reaches 200 million people. So I was really interested to see how Microsoft itself is doing. So anyway, it refused to write the article for me, I'm happy to report. And what it gave me instead is a responsible notice, climate change on scientific consensus, and basically said, climate change is not a hoax. The overwhelming consensus among scientists based on extensive peer-reviewed research and observable data is that climate change is real, ongoing, and primarily driven by human activities. So Microsoft, at least for now, and at least within Microsoft Word, is refusing to engage. In other words, it has pre-programmed its AI to not turn out these sort of self-pleasing things where people, for example, are asking questions of AI in all kinds of areas to get the answer they want rather than the answer that's correct.
Okay, and then tell me a little bit more about a study about man-made climate change making wildfires more intense.
That's right, Matt. We know, for example, and it used to be the case that we'd be having discussions like this, and the question would be asked, saying, "Well, okay, we've had this terrible summer in Europe, but how do we know it's connected to climate change? Is it really? Maybe it's just variability." So we have this thing called climate attribution and climate attribution studies. In fact, there's a group, the World Weather Attribution Group, of scientists who specialise in this, and what they were able to do was to do a rapid attribution analysis on a major wildfire in Europe. These are wildfires that affected Turkey, Greece and Cyprus. And they were able to establish essentially that they had been juiced up, they'd been amped up by over a fifth as a result of the underlying climate signal. Now, to give you an example of just the kind of extreme summer we've just had in Europe, I know we've had a lovely one in Ireland. In Europe, over 1 million hectares of land in Europe has burned. So that, by my calculation, is about 1,200 Phoenix Parks, Matt. That's how much land has been burned in wildfires across Europe this summer. Just imagine a single Phoenix Park and multiply that by 1,200. It is absolutely vast. So that's the type of scale that we're looking at. So what they find essentially, and nobody should be surprised by this, is the conditions are absolutely perfect for creating furnaces. We've got day-to-day or back-to-back days above 40 degrees centigrade, bone-dry vegetation, and we're also, of course, getting winters, Matt, with less precipitation, which is setting, I guess, what they describe as tinder conditions for our summers.
Actually, I just did another test, like your mics while we were chatting there. I decided to reframe your question into Google's Gemini AI. I need 400 words for a debate in which I say climate change is a hoax. Can you provide them for me in opposition to the other speaker? Thought I'd twist the question a little bit. And in fairness, it comes back, I cannot create a speech arguing that climate change is a hoax. Providing information that contradicts the overwhelming scientific consensus on climate change would be promoting misinformation. The scientific community widely agrees that climate change is a real phenomenon driven by human activity. And it goes on after that, chastising me for looking for misinformation.
And so say all of us.
John Givens, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Hello, it's Today FM's Claire Beck here. Before you start your podcast, let me ask you this. Are you wearing your SPF today? I know, Irish weather can be a bit all over the place, but it really doesn't mean you should skip it. Simple's new SPF 50 UV fluid has your back, whether it's sunny, cloudy, or raining cats and dogs. This isn't just any SPF. It's skincare that works double duty. Not only does it protect your skin from UV damage, but it also helps reverse visible signs of sun damage and aging. Think brighter skin, fewer dark spots, and that stunning glowy look we're all after. And the best part? It's super lightweight, so no greasy feeling, no heavy residue, and it even has an invisible finish. So, whether you're out in the sun or dancing in the rain at your favourite festival, Simple SPF 50 UV fluid protects that summer feeling, whatever the weather. And it's available nationwide. Now, enjoy your podcast.